RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It is time for a Hawk Report that is brought to you by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, the Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union Visa card, 5% cash back for every dollar spent through December 31. That's tomorrow, so you better get on it. And the Hawk, Jeff Hathorn, joins us here. If you are watching the show either on YouTube or on X, there you see the Hawk. A very nice Nike hoodie there, Jeff. Was that a Christmas gift?
No.
Oh, look at that. I need to get me one of those.
Rolling the team gear today.
I need to grab me one of those at some point. I have the tie-dye hoodie we got years ago, and I have the gray cutoff hoodie, which I do enjoy that. But people, you know what? It's amazing, Jeff, the amount of people that ask about fan merch all the time. I don't know if you ever get those questions from people.
Yes.
I get questions about it all the time, and we try to talk our big boss into like opening up some sort of online store. He just won't go for it.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. Although you know you're rolling the dice by the initial order, so maybe we need some actual firm payment commitments, and then we'll do it.
So Jeff, you were there on Sunday. We talked Sunday morning. You joined me for pregame coverage, along with Mark Cabali. We all had the feeling of, okay, this could be a little bit too close for comfort. I do think Mark said 27-7, so he had them winning pretty comfortably. You and I both thought it would be tough, but they, you know, should still win the game by like 10 mm-hmm. points. That did not happen, Jeff. So from your vantage point on Sunday, how did you see things going down?
Well, I mean, it's not just one thing that really turned this game. It would be easy to just say it was this or that. I mean, listen, offensively, they just couldn't get anything going. That was the bottom line. They tried to throw the ball 39 times against the best pass rush defense in the league. They hadn't given up 300 yards in a couple of years, and yet there they went trying. And listen, I don't mind them trying to minimize. I mean, you'd be crazy not to minimize Myles Garrett. Like, I get that part of it. But there are times when you look back now where there was a, you know, we had praised Rodgers for his ability to find open guys, where he fixated on players and missed open guys and fixated on guys like MVS and Scotty Miller and just missed some open receivers. Not that there were a ton of them running free. I'm not saying that at all. And it seemed like, even though they were trying to minimize Miles, which I get, maybe they're a little quick in what they were doing. They could have taken a couple more chances than they did. And then, you know, it's hard to rip Kyle Duggar. He's been so good. But how do you not knock that ball down, that floater up to Harold Fannin? Like, so there were all kinds of things. Even Boswell missing that field goal, you know, just – like he seemed tentative about his footing because, man, for him to leave a 54-yarder short is like back in the day leaving a 35-yarder short.
Yeah, I mean, he oddly struggles in Cleveland. I forget what they popped up there. He's like one of six beyond 40 yards there. Now, I know he did knock down a couple earlier in the game in the second quarter, but, yeah, I didn't feel great about having him out there for a 54-yard field goal. Jeff, I'll get right to it about Myles Garrett. I have the tinfoil cap on when it comes to that. I watching that game on Sunday, it felt like they were petrified to allow that guy to break the record. They should have just sent Mason Rudolph out there on the first play and let Garrett sack him and then go on with their business. Because if they were going to play afraid like that all afternoon, then they got what they deserved.
I think they played afraid in the first game, but it was Dylan Gabriel and it didn't matter. And they made it a couple of plays more. Because I don't know that they blocked different for Miles. I think they tried to minimize him. And I won't go as far as what Miles said in that they worried more about the record than winning the game. I think they worried so much about him, it did impact their offense. And Donnie, you may have a point that instead of worrying as much, but then again, if Myles Garrett would have had 3.5 sacks and the Steelers lose, you'd be destroying them for saying, why aren't you chipping? Why aren't you bringing in an extra guy? Why are you allowing Myles Garrett to ruin your opportunity to win the division? So I get what they were doing. It's just their execution and was bad. And you know what? It was one of Aaron's worst games, maybe his worst as a Steeler. I mean, he missed some plays and it just looked, and I don't know why they didn't stay more committed to the run and not to the run on 3rd and 5, but to the run at other points of the game.
We get on the Ravens for that a lot. John Harbaugh gets pretty well-deserved criticism when Baltimore loses a game because you then look afterwards and think, man, he only let Derrick Henry touch the football a dozen times. He didn't let him touch the football after like the middle of the third quarter. That's what happened to them in New England last Sunday night. And then you see what he did on Saturday and you got a vintage Derrick Henry game. I mean, one of his best. That dude just does not slow down. The only time he slows down is when his coach doesn't put him on the field. You know how good and how dangerous that guy is. The Steelers, though, it's kind of the same way. Like, you come out of a game like that, you play a team that was 3-12 going in, and you have what has turned into a pretty good 1-2 punch in the backfield between Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell, and they have the ball for a total of 19 carries on the day. It's got to be more than that, Jeff.
Yeah, and not just the carries. Like, your most dynamic pass catcher right now is Kenneth Gainwell. It's not any of the receivers. It's Gainwell. So how is he not getting more opportunities in the pass game? Whether you split him, I mean, come up with something where he can get the football in space and be able to do some of the things that he has done. You know, I listened to John Harbaugh's news conference yesterday, and, I mean, he gushed about how big of a weapon and how tough it is to try to figure out where Gainwell is. And why didn't the Steelers do that more against Cleveland? Again, listen, Cleveland is a legit top 10 defense. And pass defense, they're top 5 probably in the league. But, man, there's no excuse to a 3-win team. You go up there and you don't score a touchdown.
Jeff, just had somebody ask for me to ask you, is Darnell Washington a bigger loss to them than DK Metcalf?
The fact that I have to think about it is interesting. I still think it's DK because of what defenses have to do to account for him. It gives opportunities for other guys. So I'll still say DK, but I get the question about Darnell. I mean, Darnell not just with his ability to catch the ball, but his blocking. And Donnie, here's the thing to me that drove me nuts in the game. You send in the tush push and you realize you don't have Darnell. There's not one other guy. I mean, it's not like Darnell's been a clean bill of health his entire career with the Steelers. Like, you haven't repped somebody else. Okay, if Darnell's not available, why? Well, I want you to go in there. Or, you know what, Spencer, you're going to line up as fullback and you're going to push Hayward forward. The fact that they didn't know what they were going to do, they had to burn a timeout, and then came up with that play where they threw it to Scotty Miller instead of running the tush push. Like, that was one thing to me of how you weren't prepared for that type of situation. If there's a little thing that I thought showed a lack of preparation by the coaching staff, it was that.
That's what frustrates me the most. It feels like when one you know, with some other teams that are more offensive based, they lose a guy, they plug somebody else right in, and it's like the operation never stops. It doesn't matter where the guy is on the roster, 1 through 53. It feels like the Steelers lose a guy to injury, and, well, now that Darnell Washington's out, we can't do the tush push. Like, it feels like they are vulnerable there, that when a player, when one guy goes out, they don't always live up to that next man up mentality.
Right. And I get it. Listen, Darnell's really good at it. And if you don't want to run it, I just don't see how in that type of position there isn't somebody else that you could run, or that you, or that it appears that you haven't repped anybody else in case of emergency. Okay, you go in for Darnell. Like that just, that little thing, and having to fry a timeout, and then, you know, Aaron seeing one-on-one coverage with Scotty, like one-on-one coverage with DK, okay, but one-on-one coverage with Scotty, like, if it hits, I know it, you know, it's the greatest play ever, but man, that wasn't good.
Why don't they throw the ball to Pat Freiermuth more, Jeff? I mean, I know that that's easier said than done, but it seems like he is somebody that has been wasted for most of his career here.
Well, and I know that Cleveland runs a lot of man, but I think a guy can equally be a zone buster and a seam buster. So if you could find the opening in the zone in the middle, he could also find the opening in the seam. And those were a couple of Aaron's best passes, because he had to thread the needle to get it to Freiermuth. But yeah, I'm with you. It was a 2-minute situation. I know they're giving up some more in the middle, but why not split him out wide? Like, if you're going to look at your options and you're down to your fourth, fifth, sixth receivers, why not just throw him to the outside? Or why not give Jonnu more opportunities? I mean, the guy had 80-some catches last year. Like, why are you toying around with some of these other receivers? Why not split out a tight end, or just flood more of the zone with the tight end and give them more chances?
Speaking of the receivers that they have, oh, man, I really hope that somebody today, Jeff, in just under 5 hours, brings up Roman Wilson to Mike Tomlin. One, what's he always say? One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. And that's what Roman Wilson was going to have on Sunday. I can't wait to see what Roman Wilson does on Sunday against the Browns. And you could have told me the guy didn't even get a helmet. That's how noticeable he was on Sunday, Jeff. I am starting to think more and more that we are seeing the final days of this guy in black and gold.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm not there yet, but I think what they're so focused in it is the moment, and they don't trust him in a game, period. Because if you did, he would be getting out there. They don't trust he's going to be where he needs to be, that he's going to do what he needs to do, because you can't tell me that he's not more of a physical presence or has a bigger big play ability than some of the guys that are playing routine snaps. So I don't know what has happened behind the scenes, but it's a guy they do not trust. They love his upside and ability, and they'll praise this and that, and, you know, but when it comes down to it, because think about it, Donnie, when has he had his touchdowns or his big plays?
Garbage time. Games that,
yeah. So there's obviously something. As much as it's on the coaches, like, why isn't he playing? He must not be showing them something in practice as to why he just, not even when he gets a helmet, he doesn't get on the field.
Jeff Hathorn, check him out. 93.7 The Fan, 93.7thefan.com. He is our sports director. Jeff, I will talk to you tomorrow afternoon, right around 5:15. So thanks for hopping on. I'll talk to you in about a day and a half.
And Donnie, I will be in your seat with Jim Colony tomorrow morning.
Oh, how about that little teaser? Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony doing the morning show tomorrow. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Donnie.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.